Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Chingy is a writer, actress, humorist, and all-around funny pervert. I can confirm that is true. Not only did you say that about yourself, but that is what I think about you too.
Thank you.
Based out of Los Angeles and Oakland, California, her work focuses on kink lifestyles, queer media, and lesbian thirst, and has been featured at Autostraddle, Vice, and BuzzFeed. Chingy is currently working on an informational comic about BDSM love languages. We are going to talk about that. That is amazing. Regular columns on kinky lesbian sex, and a workplace comedy about queer sex workers that was featured at the Lambda Lit Fest 2018's main stage. She is also a much better bottom than you. She can be found slinging rampantly homosexual memes and ensnaring femme tops on Instagram and Twitter as @thegaychingy. Hello, the gay chingy.
Hi, Tina.
Anyway, so you want to fuck a house. That's beautiful.
A whole damn house.
The whole damn house. You know, one of the things that you mentioned when talking about the house that you want to fuck is the idea of mommy issues. So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about why are people into mommies. We haven't actually done daddies or mommies, which is wild, and just an illustration that 5 years in, because next month is the 5-year anniversary of why are people into that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. There are so many things to talk about that we haven't talked about mommies and daddies.
I'm so happy I can be the one to talk about mommies.
Yeah, help me to pop that, pop into the, bring in the milk.
Pop the year, the cheer, cherry,
bring it.
Year.
Do you guys need any snacks or drinks or anything? Okay, I love you so much. You know, your Twitter and Instagram are prolific and always on point and
thank
hilarious,
you.
Really, really stellar, like, cultural criticism in the form of just, like, jokes, 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 that I feel like even if people don't get, like, what you're referencing, it's, like, still, like, set up punchline. Great job.
That's all I hope for,
and yeah. You know how to use the internet. It's a beautiful thing. So you said on your Twitter, or you retweeted someone that said that 2019 is going to be the year of the mommy, or the year that we bring mommy up to the status of daddy.
Yes. And you said
it's canon. It's official.
It's real.
So first of all, can you define what mommy means in the kink, leather, BDSM sense?
What does mommy mean to me?
Well, imagine that somebody is like, are they talking about fucking moms
I've seen and interacted with people who had that confusion. They're like, do you mean you like MILFs? I'm like, no, this is like, they're not unrelated, but like,
you can be a MILF and be a mommy, but not every MILF is a mommy, and not everyone who is a parent of a child is a mommy or a daddy in the kink sense.
Yeah, daddy has really become something that's just become like very like a very mainstream thing people say,
totally.
But like mommy is a dominant who takes on a maternal role, and there's like so many different, I was telling someone about this the other day, that there's so many different ways to be a mommy. There's
totally.
Like nurturing mommies, there's like very, very like age play centric mommies, there's leather mommies, there's strict mommies. I have definitely gone out of my way to make mommy issues and mommy kinks my brand, because it's like, it is the oldest kink I can remember having.
Interesting.
Maybe it's not the oldest, but like, it's the oldest one where I was just like, when I knew what kinks were, and like, I knew that that was what I was into, and I was just like, oh, I want to call an older woman mommy while she fucks me or beats me up. Like, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. You know, it's so interesting because I have long been turned on by just the word daddy in a kinky and sexual context, and like both socially and sexually. I like find it funny and delightful, and it turns me on. And it took me a really long time to even think about the fact that, oh wait, no, this doesn't have like anything to do with my father or anybody else's father. I hear daddy and I think leather daddy. It's already gone on like several steps of association away from incest play,
yeah.
Which to be clear, incest play is about a fantasy. It is not about, you know, actual abuse of power, yeah, within family structures. But because family archetypes and family dynamics are wrapped up in both the intimacy and familiarity and being like deeply known and cared for, but also the most intensely forbidden taboo maybe ever.
Mommy is way more taboo than daddy a lot of the time.
Well, exactly. So this is what I'm getting at. Then somebody was teaching a class about mommies at some leather event, and I found myself turned off by it. I'm just trying to be like really honest say like my initial reaction was, oh no, no, daddy's totally get it. Mommy's, that like kind of squicks me out, right? So then when I get squicked out by something, my next reaction is to be like, what's going on there, Tina? What the fuck is up with that? Why are you being, you got to practice what you preach, right? So, you know, and as usual, when something makes me uncomfortable or squicks me out, it's usually like, oh, well, there's some internalized misogyny going on, clearly.
That's like a big root of why, like, obviously, like mommy is not as well known of a term as like daddy. In my experience, a lot of femme tops who use titles and like do play with like dominance and power exchange, a lot of them trend more towards being femme daddies than mommies.
Isn't that interesting?
Large numbers.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, it is really interesting. And I'm just like, yo, it's okay to be mommies.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because it's also obviously okay to be a femme daddy.
Yeah, no.
Right? And and like, you know, gender is complicated and archetypes are complicated. And just because you're, you know, maybe for some people, the, what I like to call harmonic dissonance of femme daddy, it's like, oh, it seems like those would be two different things, especially if that person is like a cis woman manifesting this masculine, nurturing, dominant energy, but also being high femme at the same time, like within a cis female body, like, you know, all of there could be something about that specifically because it doesn't make literal sense. That's a part of why it's fun to embrace that identity.
No, totally.
But also, you're right, we're not seeing enough of people synthesizing the organic correspondence of being a nurturing femme top and identifying with a mommy archetype.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing about age play, but also in like fetishes in general, like when we have a fantasy, it's based off of these like archetypes and societal roles and stuff so often. And like, I think one of the things is that daddy, we in this modern day, daddy is everybody, no one has expectations of dads or daddies to be perfect,
right?
Because it's just like, oh, there's dads are messing up all the time. Like, we all just are like, we know, yeah.
Yeah, pizza dads.
Yeah. There is this sainthood, pureness, some people see it as, that
right.
comes with motherhood, the archetype of maternal being. The archetype of, like, maternal being. It makes a lot of people afraid to touch it because it's so taboo.
Well, and but also the pressure is on, just like it is for people who are mothers, identify as mothers, who are parents of young people, the pressure on moms is different from the pressure on dads. To your nurturing is in your nature, and so you're just gonna get it right the first time.
Yeah,
and I can see why that pressure would be stressful to a top.
Totally. No, I can, I'm a top in no way, man. I can totally understand like why that would be like, mommies are perfect. That's like, there's like this imagery that a lot of us have, I think, that like I said, it's like saintly, like mothers are supposed to hold everything up, give you structure. Dads can be fun and do whatever. It's like these archetypes that are built into our society that are also influencing, like our kinks don't exist in a bubble. Yeah. It's all influence. I never called my mom mommy growing up, so I have no problem calling women I date mommy. It's
totally.
Like, it doesn't like make me feel weird. It never made me feel weird because I was just like, that's not, and some people do call both those things. It's just so far removed from me. Every woman I date is so different than my actual mother. I don't actually think that.
You're not searching for a replacement.
No, no, no.
Or like someone to fix.
Yeah, exactly.
Broken or whatever.
No.
I don't know your life, but. So when you meet someone who has a really intense, really clear mommy energy and like clearly identifies as a mommy, what does that bring out in you?
Thirst. I want attention and structure and discipline and like to like be praised, but also to like worship this like maternal figure who is going to destroy me in a fun way. And for the record, I am not anti-daddies at all.
Yeah.
It's just like, I have to like, every time I go on a date with a femme daddy, because I only date femmes, I have to like explain, look, I like you because you're a femme top, but I just need you to know, like, I worship mommies above all.
Yeah.
Mommies are the golden gods. Wow, I use a lot of religious imagery when I'm talking about my sexuality, which is not surprising to me, actually.
It's all right. I'll allow it. You know, it's interesting to think about how, like, all of those words that you just used that I loved so much, that you want attention and discipline and structure and someone to worship, really makes me think about the archetype of the mother as the person who is designing your environment and your schedule and the dynamics of what's expected of you and like how you can be good and what's going to happen if you're bad.
Yeah.
And is often the person at the front lines of noticing whether you're good or bad, or noticing whether you are adhering to the system or not.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like about the guidance of it all. That's the thing. Like, I don't need to have like an intense DS dynamic with every person I play with or every mommy I play with. I've had a lot of different types of mommies in my life. Like, I've had just like nurturing ones. Me and my current partner, she's a very strict nurturing. I would say she nurtures me in
You're making a cute face.
I every time I, she knows every time I think about her or start talking about her, I'm just like, she's great. My mommy's the best. But my girlfriend like gives me a lot of structure because we have like, we are long distance right now, but we have still like a 24/7 dynamic. It's like a lax 24/7 dynamic. It's not like I can call her like her name or like my girlfriend and I can like do whatever I want, but like, I have rules all the time that I need to abide by, like, to be my best self that she gives me. Like, every day I have to send her a list of, like, the things I have to do in a day and, like, mark them off and send it to her. I'm not allowed to make memes in the middle of the day because it takes up so much of my time. I'm not allowed to make memes, masturbate, or play video games in the daytime.
You want a house.
I just want a whole damn house.
Oh my God. You know, I mean, you're hitting on something that I think is really beautiful about the potential of DS. You know, people think about domination and submission, and they think about the whips and chains exciting people, and they think about the fetish gear, and like all that stuff can be great. Different people, different tastes. But the thing that I think that people don't know enough about is the ways that DS, whether it manifests as master slave or mommy girl or mommy boy or daddy girl or whatever, master pup, there's so many different ones.
Oh, pups.
Is that oftentimes a top is giving the bottom structure for being their happiest, healthiest, best self, which is technically what parents are supposed to do. And I mean, I guess the advantage of being the like kinky archetypical mommy or daddy is that you, not to say that it's not a lot of work, but you kind of get to focus on that stuff because you're not usually actually responsible for keeping that person alive.
Yeah.
Like, cause we're talking about consenting adults, whether there's age play involved or not.
Yeah.
We're talking about consenting adults that are not actually legal dependents on one another, unless, you know, this is like a Liberace situation. But if our actual parents like weren't trying to keep us alive, like what kind of way would they, and if they didn't have their own needs to, well, like, no, I guess technically tops do also have their own needs to meet.
Yeah,
anyway, I'm just spitballing.
See, that's the thing. Like I am like the bottomiest of bottoms.
Everybody knows.
I'm
hearing that loud and clear. Yes.
My partner is the toppiest of tops, which is why we're just such a perfect match.
Totally. That's stratification.
Yeah. She's been my mommy since we started dating, but like we didn't start doing that kind of like rules and stuff, like in structure, until I moved.
It's a good way to stay close when you're long distance.
Yeah. It keeps us talking we talk every day.
And you know what to talk about.
Yeah. And it's hard for me to understand a top's headspace in that giving me structure and giving me rules could make someone else happy rather than just like make me more stable.
Mm.
My partner's a Virgo, so she's very good about like stating her boundaries, and so
great.
So am I. And like, so I never worry that like she's giving me more energy than she feels she can give me. It's interesting to me that like nurturing me could make someone happy, I guess.
Well, that's really beautiful.
When I started talking to her about roles, I was just like, we could do like fun, sexy roles. She's like, no, I want to give you roles that'll like help you get your life together. And I was like, and like my life was together. Just like, she was just like, I just want,
we all need, you know, we can all use some
and
coaching.
Yeah. And it's not like I can't do like things without her. One of the things I'm working on right now, a comic about BDSM love language.
Tell me everything.
I was thinking about the ways that I express love to partners and the way that partners express love to me. And my partner expresses love to me differently than a lot of partners I've had, in that words of affirmation are not a big one for her. And I always have like been very much about getting words of affirmation because I have a lot of self-doubt sometimes as a creative and just in general.
Sure.
And I realized, A, that she's a Virgo, and if she didn't want to be around me, she would just not be around. Like
I can confirm that that's true.
She would not suffer a fool. And B, just that, thinking about the different ways in which she expresses her love and in which I express my love. And I was like, I wonder if these, like the five love languages of like quality time, physical intimacy,
acts of service,
gifts, and words of affirmation translated into BDSM.
That's genius.
They really do. They translate very, very easily. And I just like thought about like how the ways I get to like experience love from her are like her hitting me and hurting me, and like,
so is that a gift, or is that,
that's
physical
the thing.
Intimacy?
Sometimes a lot of these overlap, especially with kink. I don't know if it happens with other things, but with kink, like,
how would we know?
Yeah, like if we at Folsom this year, we did a public scene of her whipping me outside the stud for like an hour.
Amazing.
And that was quality time.
Totally.
I ended up with a lot of marks. So those were gifts.
Totally.
It was physical intimacy. Like, it, like, a lot of them, like, fall into a bunch of different categories at the same time. But like, it's very translatable. And I just think I want to make it like a cutesy, it's either going to be like a cutesy picture book or a comic that's informational. I'm like talking to a few artists right now about like doing the art on it. But I just want it to be like a fun, sweet love letter about like how we express love through ways that a lot of people don't.
I love that. I can't wait to read it.
Thank you.
Please keep us posted about how that's going.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think of when I think about the sexiness of mommies reminds me of the conversations that I was having with Maxine Holloway on the show, where she was talking about being literally pregnant and then fetishizing her own fertility and pregnancy and breeding and all of that stuff, and her and being a pregnant sex worker and the clients that she had that were like, you know, she wasn't lactating yet, but the idea of like clients being interested in like drinking milk from breasts or just being like held by this like very fertile, pregnant, gushing body.
Yeah.
It does kind of make me think about the, speaking of love languages, the sort of the like version of erotic intimate touch that is sort of about consuming someone or like enveloping someone, which interestingly enough, funny that we're talking about mommies and now I'm thinking about monsters, but like that's like something that you see in like certain kinds of erotic monsters that they envelop. Again, I do not personally have like literal memories of being held to giant fluffy breasts and being like, I'm safe in my mommy's arms. You know, I got, I got hugged. I turned out all right. That seems to me like to be like a very archetypical thing where you just, you feel safe and you feel comforted and you feel like you can lose yourself in soft, warm, fleshy, feminine.
Yeah.
Body.
Yeah. I think it's not even just the body of it. It's like, I think that gets into like so much of why I love mommy stuff and female dominance in general, because A, soft, nice bodies are, I'm never complaining about that.
Listen, I'm here for.
I think some of the reason that people think I'm a power bottom is because I'm very particular about the tops I like in general. I always say I could top if I wanted to, but I really don't want to. I'm not into like someone being like, oh, I've never domed someone before, but I could figure it out with some practice. Like, I'm not trying to do a build a dom. Like, that's not, I don't want to build a top. No, that's not the workshop I came to. I always feel like I have to be in control of everything in my life. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, anything could fall apart. It's just like a very neurotic part of me.
Yeah.
And I can like micromanage people around me sometimes. And when I'm like in play and like in power exchange, I don't want to have to worry about that at all. Someone who I can trust to completely give myself over to.
And someone who like demonstratively inspires that confidence. Because otherwise you're going to be like, oh, maybe you could like do this thing. Or like, oh, what do I have to, I can't let go. I have to like keep paying attention. Someone to turn off your neuroses.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Turn off your controlling, the impulse to top from the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I've found that like, when I'm bottoming just without any power dynamics, the like, especially doing like heavy sadomasochism stuff, the amount I can do does not nearly add up to the amount I can do when I'm in subspace or little space, especially with my partner, because I know that when I'm with my mommy, she can do whatever she wants to me. She can tear apart my body in very visceral, physical ways. I've pushed so many of my limits of pain with her and explored a lot of new things for me with her. I know that at the end of it, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be okay and I'm going to be better.
Because you're pleasing her. You're doing it in devotion to her.
That's really what it is. Yeah, like I didn't realize until last year that I was like trying to become more service oriented and not always just be like bratty and all just me. I want attention. Give me all the attention.
A lot of tops like that.
I know. Yeah. And I was like,
I know them.
But I also like to, I think in all my relationships, I'm very careful about wanting things to be reciprocal and like making sure I don't take more than I can give.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So you're not like a black hole void of a bottom.
No, only at parties. Only at parties. But then usually in those situations, my girlfriend's like leading the pack and is just like making
instructing sure. you to be the void.
Yeah, yeah. And like making sure that I'm fine throughout all of it.
Cool.
I was like thinking more like about acts of service, and I was like, you know what? I really hate doing some service, cleaning or cooking as like acts of service rather than just like as acts of kink service, not acts of like regular dating. I will cook us a meal.
Yeah.
Instead of, yes, mistress, I will cook for you. Not, I don't like that kind of service in that respect. And I was thinking of like the types of service I do, and I was like, well, I like giving massages and like doing boot black care is like leather care is like service for me. But then like I realized, oh, I take as much pain as I do because my mommy likes it when I take pain. She's amused and happy when she sees me hurt.
And proud.
Yeah. And like, that's the best feeling in the world. Oh, I can literally get through any of this pain and terror happening to my body that like my body is telling me like freaking out over, because I'm like, I know that she's going to take care of me and that I'm going to feel her pride and adoration while doing it. It's fun. I love it.
That is amazing and beautiful and romantic and also just super gay. I don't want to throw around the F word, but it is also feminist to think about being a woman like in service to and in devotion to another woman.
I am definitely femme for femme. Like, I'm a femme and I love femmes. Also, I definitely know that I tend towards people who are like fit a more traditional idea of what femininity is, at least in appearance and in like mannerisms, whereas I can be like very much a high femme, androgynous, faggy little bitch. I have little bitch inscribed on multiple pairs of glasses because I'm just like, that's who I am. I'm a little bitch. Yeah. I love getting to worship and serve maternal, hyper feminine, confident gay women.
Amazing.
It's fun. And it makes me feel so good.
Well, also in a world that sends us such mixed messages about what it means to be intentionally femme, that it's just for the male gaze. Femininity is vain, or femininity is like just something that like women do to please men or to secure a man, and that we like let ourselves go once we have gotten the house, the whole damn house.
Which is so funny.
That you, in worshiping a high femme in her maternal aspect, could also be truly seen as feminine, as a little bitch, like as a bottom. Yeah. Like, even if you are like spunky and androgynous or faggy or whatever, yeah, that like mommy is gonna like teach you how to put on makeup, and that like mommy is like so flawless and pristine and like perfect in her feminine like sartorial instinct that she is gonna like teach you
how to be a girl. Big part of it. That is a bit, yeah. I'm a little girl and mommy's going to teach me how to be a woman is really what it is. I'm a little tomboy, and I just wrote a piece about why I love femtops so much. And it was very hard to write a piece about why I love femtops without mentioning mommy once. I was like, wow, I didn't mention the word mommy once in that entire article.
It's probably implied.
Oh yeah, it's heavily implied, but
integrated.
I've always felt so drawn to the feminine things in life, and just have always found that I enjoy being a girl.
It seems that you're also drawn to people who like recognize that girliness in you.
Yeah.
It's interesting also that you mentioned femme daddies, and like shout out to my femme daddies, like friend of the pod, Mistress Madeline Marlowe has a literal femme daddy tattoo. I saw,
yes. It's
yeah.
Yep.
Ballad Bathory. Like, I know I have lots of femme daddies in my life.
All wonderful.
Shout out. It's interesting. I would love anyone who is listening to the pod who is or knows a man, could be trans, could be cis, could be just masculine of center person who identifies as a butch mommy.
I had a feeling that's where you were going with that. And
do you know any butch mommies?
I don't think I do. I think I remember like seeing one on FetLife many a year ago and being like, well, that's not what I'm looking for, but like, cool. But like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's so often like women identifying as daddies, but not so much men identifying as mommies.
So butch mommies, we want to hear from you.
I know some like actually some like butch women who are like mommies,
but totally,
like, yeah,
but I know like non-binary folks who have our parents, like totally, but yeah. I'm talking about like in the kink sense, in the leather sense.
Yeah,
I want to hear from the butch mommies,
leather mommies of the world.
Yeah,
unite and take over.
They're already running the show.
Yeah.
They're running the show and getting, you know, paid 80 cents to the dollar. The invisible labor of the leather mommies.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, Wire people into that, listeners. Tina here, reminding you that Valentine's Day is just around the corner. There's no better place to get the jump on your V-Day plans than the Pleasure Chest. On Thursday, January 31st, New Yorkers can stop by the West Village store for Just Throw It in the Bag, a low-key shopping event where pleasure educators show you the latest and greatest toys and treats in every price range. To find out more about this event and other romantic goings-on, follow Pleasure Chest on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or visit pleasurechest.com. Let the Pleasure Chest staff be your guide to your most fulfilling and ecstatic Valentine's Day yet. Okay, now back to the show. Because you and I have so much pop culture taste in common, I want to tell you, especially since, as I have acknowledged, I want to like mea culpa about the fact that when I realized that there were kinky mommies in addition to kinky daddies, it like didn't compute at first. I like really want to acknowledge that I have been noticing lately women in pop culture that I am attracted to, and like when they like give me mommy vibes, because sometimes I will like project daddy vibes onto them even if that's like not explicitly what they're doing. Have you watched Killing Eve?
Yeah, we talked about
Did we talk about it?
Are you talking about Fiona Shaw's character?
Right. And I sent you that gift today.
Yeah, you sent me that gift. Yeah, Fiona Shaw.
Which is not even from
It's not from Killing Eve.
No. It's from like some 90s English show. So, first of all, Killing Eve,
spectacular.
Highly recommend. Female sexuality on that show, the queerness, the kinkiness, incredible. I was not expecting to be so into Fiona Shaw. I feel like she was on True Blood. I've like seen her in things before. She is like actually a mom on that show, and then she's also like
in control of like
incredibly powerful spy intelligence officer, and she like just wears these like black turtlenecks and like flirts with people to like get information in this way that you usually see like young sexy assassins do.
Yeah, and but she like, is she's like an older woman. Like, yeah.
Sometimes we'll accept older women being sexy if they look like Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Love to Helen Mirren. Like, Fiona Shaw doesn't look like Helen Mirren. No. She like looks like an older woman.
Yeah. Okay. So mommies in pop culture. Well, I definitely have a lot of femtop crushes from American Horror Story. Marie Laveau from Coven.
Oh, yeah.
Also from... I have a really big crush on Frances Conroy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I wish she had, like, the same things you said about seeing in Fiona Shaw. I wish Frances Conroy had more opportunities to, like, express sexuality in the characters she gets, because...
Yeah, she always She always gets cast in, like, desexualized mom roles. Yeah.
Her as Myrtle Snow.
Oh, yeah.
or that like
Myrtle Snow fucks.
Oh yeah, Dandy Mott's mom in Freak Show, which is actually my least favorite of the seasons. I also love that in real life Sarah Paulson always dates women many years her senior.
Good point.
And then was in Carol. I was just like,
I mean,
I saw a kindred spirit in her, and I was like, I see you, girl.
Oh my
I see
god, you. Absolutely. You know, Cherry Jones, I feel like, is maybe the closest that we have to a butch mommy, or like maybe even Holland Taylor. I mean, she's like a dandy mommy.
Yeah.
Getting there.
I mean, I definitely always go back to Joan Holloway Harris on Mad Men.
Yes.
There's like the good moms I'm attracted to on TV, but then there's mothers who I'm like, oh, she's a horrible mother. I'm so aroused because yes. I just want her to treat me that way.
I mean, that's the funny thing about it, is that sometimes what you want a kink mommy to do is the thing that you would not want your actual caretaker to do. But sometimes you want your kink mommy or your top to like do the thing that you loved that your caretaker did, or that you wish that your caretaker could embody. Yeah. And it could be both.
Yeah, I always tell my partner that she LARPs as a terrible mother.
But she's like, actually, she's like a good mother, but she plays a bad one on TV.
No, she like went, no, like my partner is not a mom at all.
No, I mean, like, I mean mommy, not.
Oh, yeah. Because for us, like incest play does come into our like play. I always just say, I'm like, yeah, you LARP as a really awful mom who's very mean to me, who's very mean to her daughter in really amusing ways. That's what our sexuality is. You LARPing as a bad mom.
Oh my god, so funny.
But
part of what you're saying is that in terms of like the kind of nurturing partner that she is, that's why you're saying that it's LARPing. Is that
in the
truer 24/7 manifestation of your dynamic,
it's good for me. Yeah, like she's good to me. I really like humiliation. She's very mean to me. It's great.
Nobody can humiliate you like a mommy.
No, exactly. Like, tell me all the things I'm doing wrong and tell me how to be better. Or tell me I'm disgusting. I love it. That is all to say about the bad moms. Betty Draper, in some of her darker moments, I'm like, wow, I always hate her, but I'm also just like, shove me in a closet and tell me you'll chop off my fingers.
Amazing.
Threaten to break my arm, why don't you? But also, you're a horrible mother and just a bad person in general.
Yeah. She never had a chance.
No, she never had a chance. I ran a poll recently to figure out if Jennifer Walters, aka She-Hulk, is a is a like a buff mommy or a femme daddy, and it was largely unanimous that she's just like beefcake mommy.
So maybe she's a butch mommy.
I think no, because she's only ever butch because her clothes keep ripping when she turns into Hulk, as Hulks do.
But you know, the whole thing about the Hulk is that's like your true nature coming out.
Yeah,
or like an aspect of your nature that you don't acknowledge enough.
I would say that She-Hulk, as an avid admirer of the single green female, I would say that she is definitely still femme. She's just swole.
Yeah.
She's just very, very buff.
You can be both.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like trying to think of other like, I mean, so many X-women in the X-Men comics are femtops, and some give me strong mommy vibes, like Storm.
Emma Frost. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Storm. Yeah. Emma Frost.
Frost, too. Emma Frost is, like, very mean. She's, like, governess, because she's, like, British. Mm-hmm. She's, like, I'm getting, like, very mean governess vibes.
Is there a difference between a sexy auntie and a sexy mommy?
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like sometimes if I'm playing with someone and, like, my partner, who I call mommy, like, doesn't want me calling someone else mommy, sometimes auntie play is, like, a thing.
It's like mommy adjacent.
There's definitely like creepy uncle as like a fetish people have. I think creepy auntie is the thing. Creepy auntie is definitely a thing. I've done creepy auntie play or like creepy babysitter.
Oh
like,
God, yeah. I love a babysitter.
I love a baby. Yeah. Baby sit on my face. Yep. That's why they pay me the small bucks, because I come up with jokes like that.
I haven't done wiring people into babysitters. That would go pretty deep for me.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of us definitely had crushes on our babysitters because
right.
it was like someone we remember from an early age who was not our mother or right. father.
A full-time caretaker.
Yeah, who was very sweet to us and like gave us attention.
Or awful to us.
Yeah, that's true. I always had good babysitters, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, you're totally right that the babysitter is sort of like what we see in incest porn trends of the like not technical incest of the yeah. like father figure or the like mommy figure role, somebody who is in a role of authority over you,
yeah,
but also has access to the house, the domestic sphere, and also influence over your body and your like intimate routines, but is A, not your full-time caretaker.
Not related to you.
B, not related to you. C, probably, like, younger than your parents. You know, they could be, like, a young, sexy, horny person.
Yeah.
Who's not necessarily horny for you, but is, like, maybe a teenager that is just, like, dripping yeah. hormones, and you're, like, maybe just starting to, like, pick up on that. So, again, it's familiar and safe, but also, like, forbidden and bad.
Oh, it's still taboo. Yeah, for sure.
Right. And
yeah.
everybody loves when goodness and badness get wrapped up in each other.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
I like age play and I like dark age play as much as I also like light stuff too, but it's definitely so fulfilling to me to have a core part of my like the relationship of the woman with the women I like love that the things that we do that make us happiest and are how we bond are completely taboo to the outside world.
That's what makes it yours.
I know. That's part of why I'm so open in my writing and art because I like these things are like very, very important to me. And I feel like BDSM in general and kinks in general are always represented in media as either like something that's hot because it's bad or it's like the butt of a joke. Whereas like for me, it's just like, no, this is literally just my everyday life.
Yeah.
And like with my girlfriend, like putting needles in me, hitting me with actual whips. People talk about like liking whips and chains.
Yeah.
When I'm like a lot of those people, I'm like, look, whips are not beginner shit.
Totally.
Like whips hurt like a motherfucker.
Also,
like,
it's a highly skilled
activity. Yeah, you have to know a lot. Someone told me they were just going to pick up a whip and hit me. I'm like, have you ever held a whip before? You're not doing that. You're not hitting me with that. No, ma'am.
It's too bad. It's really too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like wanting to represent the loving parts of BDSM and age play and pervert stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Pervert stuff, you know. Yeah,
pervert stuff.
So, thank you for going on that mommy journey with me. Thanks for getting in the car and going on a road trip and not turning this car right back around if I don't settle down.
I had a blast doing it. This is one of my favorite subjects to speak on, and it's like one of my 2019. It wasn't me who made the tweet about it. It was this comic artist, Leah Williams, but I have been saying this for a very long time. Like, mommy is the new daddy. My partner also said that. So, like, I gotta give her credit for that. But, like, it's...
Gotta give mommy credit.
Gotta give mommy credit. Mommy is the inspiration for all of it.
Can you recommend any great mommy resources for people who are curious about this and like want to learn more, either erotic literature that's inspired you or like really great nonfiction?
Smart House, starring Katie Segal.
okay. Are there people who are writing about leather mommies? I know my friend Felice Shays has taught some classes. I don't know if she has any coming up, but she's a great resource for that.
I mean, I know like people who've written about age play and stuff. Like, I know Penny Barber wrote a book about age play.
You know
play.
What? Penny Barber is a great resource for mommy and age play stuff.
Yeah. I know her stuff is like more centered around like general like age play and like ABDL stuff. Adult baby diaper lover is that acronym.
It's, yeah, that's Penny's thing for
like,
sure.
Infantilization.
Yeah, literally.
Whereas like yeah, like leather truly. Mommies are also a very different brand of mommies that can intersect. It's just I'm writing on mommies right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so you're like, recommending yourself.
Yeah, I'm recommending me. You know, I saw a great older documentary that I found on Amazon called Blood Sisters.
Ooh.
That is generally about like the SM dyke scene, like leather scene.
I think somebody recommended that to me and I still have not watched it, so I gotta fix that.
It's not mommy centric, but there's like a couple people in there who talk about being mommies.
Princess Callie's book.
I was gonna say.
Enough to Make You Blush, which I feel like I recommend that so many episodes because she covers so many topics
in such a cohesive way. It's so good.
Really good. And Midori, you know, did an episode about female dominance and has written a lot about femtops, and I'm sure has written about mommies as well. If anybody listening has any great mommy resources, classes, literature, movies, whether it's your interpretation of it, like I was talking about with you know, Fiona Shaw in Killing Eve, or whether
or
it's
Smart
something
House, a or, Disney or, Channel or original some, movie.
Yeah, exactly. or whether it's something that is, you know, about strictly about BDSM and leather and kink, please tweet at Tina Horn's ass and at The Gay Chingy.
Please
we'll
do.
Start like a huge mommy explosion on the internet.
A mommy think tank. Yeah.
Incredible.
We need some actual mommies in there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And please, mommies of the world.
Unite and take over.
Yeah. Speak me. Your mind. So Chingy, what is up next for you in 2019?
2019 is a busy year for me so far. Like I said, I'm working on my BDSM love language comic. I'm writing regular sex columns at Autostraddle and am currently writing something for Out right now, which I'm very excited for.
Incredible. The actual print edition of Out magazine.
Yeah.
New staff, new brand. It's
yeah,
very
the
exciting.
Rebranding is really exciting. I'm also working on starting a clothing brand.
Oh, cool.
That's basically going to be like, if like Mr. S's streetwear or like Nasty Pig was like for femme dykes.
I love
so
that.
So it's going to have a lot of mommy stuff.
Well, that is fantastic, especially since, because usually with that streetwear stuff, like the only stuff that is both affordable and appropriate for my body are their socks. Like they have such high sock standards.
Oh, yeah.
I have, just have like my best socks are like my massive socks, my nasty big socks. So I would really love that, but more for.
Yeah. Like I need more like femme versions of like Lockwood and stuff.
Brilliant.
Like,
it's a really fucking good idea.
Yeah. Nobody's done it. And like.
You're a whole lifestyle brand.
Well, the brand is going to be called Mommy Issues. So that's.
Great.
I have to stay on brand. And like there's one of my big complaints is that like I like puppy play, but like I'm a poodle and there's never any BDSM poodle stuff, and that's so rude.
We're gonna
it's offensive to my existence.
You know, you bringing up mommy issues, the last thing that I want to say while we wrap up is I saw a beautiful tweet. Juliana
Saludis.
So at @Juliana_Saludis, festive, grumpy, gay, ang. I don't even know what A-A-N-G stands for.
I think
for.
That's from the show Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh, okay. Well, wonderful. A pop culture thing I don't get. That's always a nice feeling. They tweeted, I think it's really telling how so many girls get shit on for having, quote, daddy issues, like it's their fault, when really, what does it say about men that so many fathers are so horrible to their daughters that their trauma has become some kind of sick cultural joke? That really resonated with me, especially doing so much work with sex worker rights and particularly the adult film industry and how people just assume that people are damaged goods or have daddy issues.
Yeah, they always throw that at
doing
sex
it.
Workers. Yeah.
And they just think like, well, I don't have to quantify this at all. I can just, otherwise like very intelligent people will be like, this is probably about your dad, right? So we don't talk about mommy issues that much, but as somebody who finds leather daddies very sexy and daddy play very sexy and is like trying to like learn how to get my leather dyke mommy desire on or like embody the mommy or like whatever. We'll see. I'm so switchy.
I have to
look at it from all the
prismatics. Angles. Yeah. I just have one.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
It must be very, it's much more time efficient than what I have going on. But anyway, you know, the truth of the matter is that I don't know about you, but I feel like moms have fucked me up just as much.
Oh,
as dads have fucked me up.
Oh
and,
yeah.
Like, you know, so like if we're reclaiming the idea of daddy issues as being like, hey, you're the one that traumatized me. So if I'm going to make a sex game out of this, like I'm allowed to, then, you know, if we're saying that to our dads, I think that we should really be saying that to our moms, and we should be like getting all this mom stuff off our chest in the bedroom and in the dungeon.
Oh, too. I fully agree. No, like the thing for me is like, when I say I have mommy issues, sometimes people are like, think I'm actually complaining. I think it's really funny, and I really enjoy, like, I actually do have a great relationship with my mother, and a lot of people don't realize that because I constantly joke about having mommy issues. I always tell people, I'm like, oh, I have daddy issues too. I just wanted nothing to do with my father.
Right.
Whereas, like, I wanted more attention from my mother. So I'm half Asian, and it's all about, like, oh, I'm never, like, Asian kids are always just like, oh, I'm never good enough for my parents. They have very high standards for me. It's wanting, like, maternal affection and attention. It's not something I ever feel bad about. It's, like, shame is, like, the guiding factor in my sexuality. I always say,
you gotta keep your eye on it.
Yeah, I'm
saying, like, that's why putting shame into your sexuality, like, intentionally, why BDSM is so great is because, like, shame is gonna be there, so you might as well, like, know where, you might as well, like, make a little maze for it to run through, where it's at.
What I say is, why be ashamed of my fetishes when I can fetishize my shame?
Ooh, say it again.
Why be ashamed of my fetishes when I can fetishize my shame?
Put that on a fucking shirt, man.
Yeah, it's really how I get through every day. I'm like,
same.
I'm like, oh, if I didn't fetishize this stuff, I don't know if I'd still be around.
I relate to that so hard. That's your meme brain again. It's a talent. I want to see you continue to thrive and be recognized for that talent. Not everybody can do that.
It doesn't pay anything, so like I definitely do it as a hobby, but like it definitely helps me like hone my skills as both a like writer and a like humorist and comedian, like knowing how to like make a joke that like resonates with people.
It's very powerful, and it's a social service.
Thank you.
You're being humor mommy for the whole
I'm
internet.
Being the humor service bottom. Don't get it twisted.
Okay, I won't get it twisted. So people can find you on the internet on Instagram and Twitter at the gay chingy.
Yes.
Chingy.
Yeah.
Cool. And is there anywhere else online that you want to direct people to find you?
I have articles at Autostraddle that you can read.
Under
Chingy. Yeah.
Cool. And Out Magazine.
Yeah. Just follow me on Instagram. That's where all Instagram and Twitter. That's where all the updates on my career and like the things I'm doing are.
Cool. This has been delightful. Thank you for kicking off this year in the most maternal way possible.
Thank you for letting me break the new year with you. It was great. I love it.
Amazing. Well, I can't wait to see what you do next.
Same.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.